restoration in the house. And I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. Zechariah chapter 4, is it up? So I'll read that to you. So the angel said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mountain, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it. God bless it." Then the word of the Lord came to me. "The hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." And as you keep your eye on that passage, I'll be taking you to the preceding chapter to spend time in there. Then we'll bring it to this, because if I go straight to this chapter and this passage that we read, you will see that a lot of people quote it out of context. They're soon quick to say, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And they're so excited about it. That is great. The Lord actually did say that. But then before he said it, there was a reason for God to say that. Because God doesn't just throw his word about. He throws his word in for a purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God throws his word in for a purpose. Now, Zerubbabel was a governor in Persia when the people of Israel were in exile. And he led nearly 50,000 people who had been in exile for about 70 years back to Israel, where they used to be. Now, Zerubbabel returned from exile with great hope of rebuilding the temple of God. But 6 years into the building project, the work has reached only floor level stage. Think about it. You want to build a house, 6 years onwards, all that you see is floor level. And those of you who see buildings being put up, especially Lewisham Center, and some of you who go around Lewisham area, have you seen that? Once upon a time, it was something else. They pull it down, and within the last 3 years, people are already living there. Isn't it? If you live around, Kidbrook, same thing. And it's all over the place. These days, it takes about 6 months to a year to build a house. Huge houses. And yet, 6 years after they've returned, they've only reached floor level. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing indeed. Why has it taken so long to see real progress and the fulfillment of their hope? Because when they came, they had so much hope. When they were coming, they had so much treasure given to them by the Persian king as a gift. He even decreed that every governor along the provinces that the Israelites would walk to, they had 127 provinces. But anyone along the provinces that they walked through to Israel, they should give them a gift so that they can go and rebuild the temple of God. So you can see that when God begins to purpose in your life and begin to open a gateway for you, he always makes sure that he will give you a gift to go with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God will never send you home empty-handed. If you plead to God to do something for you, he will never say, "I will not answer." He will answer and give you in abundance and put people in your way to actually help you to have it in abundance. And that is the way our God works. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the way our God works. Now, the reason why their hopes had not been fulfilled and for 6 years they were still on the same building project was something very simple. The people had redirected their attention and effort into their own desires and plans. The people who came with the sole purpose, they had been in exile for 70 years. And even according to scripture, if you begin to read the book of Zechariah, the Bible said that God was sent them out because of their disobedience. But the punishment that they received was even more than God intended for them to have. Sometimes we go through things harder than we're supposed to go through. And then so when God sent them back, they said, you know what, we're going to do the right things. Yes? When you read, Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 32 to 39, it tells you exactly what they said they would do. They would do the right thing. They want to worship God out of their hearts. But then they had redirected. As soon as they got there, within 6 years, they had redirected their attention to their own efforts and desires. And then they stopped building the house of God. They started building their own homes. And the Bible tells us in Haggai chapter 1 that now you people have started rebuilding your house and panel them and putting all your floorings and done all the beautiful things, but my house lays in ruins. So consider your ways. So at that time that they came, within these 6 years, there were two prophets who were operating, that is Haggai and Zechariah. And the people had been hearing their voice. The people have forgotten that returning home was part of God's plan to reactivate worship as a priority in their lives. And that is what will make them successful. So what will make you successful? When God calls you back, when you want more of God, is to reactivate worship as a priority in your life. Hallelujah. You see, if you are not reactivating worship as a priority in your life, your spirit goes dry. Your spirit goes dry. Because sometimes it's so difficult to pick up the Bible to want to read it. But then when you begin with worship, the whole atmosphere is opened. There's a stream of water comes in. The supernatural presence of God flows like a river. And then you are able to activate the presence of God. And you walk within that. And that is what we have to do. So when we activate worship as a priority in our lives, then we'll be successful. It took voices of Haggai and Zechariah for them to get going again. Altogether, do you know it took them 16 years to finish rebuilding the temple and to restore a worship lifestyle again. Something that should have taken them much, much shorter time. And I want you to understand that sometimes we all have hopes. Especially at the beginning of our lives, we hope for something good, something wonderful. We want to get married, buy a car, get a good job, get a good money, go on holidays. We have all these things in our mind. When you go into a marriage, you're looking for a fantastic home, a fantastic husband, fantastic wife that you saw. And sometimes you go into it and it's not as you envisage. You understand that? It doesn't mean that they are devils. It means that there are some principles that need to be kept as a child of God. So if you're a child of God and you are going to any of these, whether you're going to a job, whether you're going to marriage, whether you are starting a home, I just want you to know there are some principles that we have to bring into that home so that we will have a restoration. You may have hopes of having children who are amazing. You have hopes of a better education, great career, setting up a business, or building an amazing church. Did I not have hopes that by this time people are queuing at the door and asking to come in, and it's taking a little while? There are principles that we have to pick up. Hallelujah. Amen. There are principles that we have to keep up. And when these things start taking longer, by the people of Israel, the question we ask is, what's gone wrong? But before restoration comes, restoration meaning God putting things back. Before restoration comes, certain things need to be in place for God to rebuild. Another meaning of restoration. To rebuild, for God to repair, for God to reestablish, for God to reinstate, and to release his glory again in the house and over the lives of the people, we have to adhere to certain principles in our lives. So the foundation to rebuild our lives, to rebuild our homes, one is this: restoration must begin with the priesthood. Hallelujah. Restoration must begin with the priesthood. In any home, in any life, in any career pathway, in anything that you want to do, restoration should begin with the priesthood. What does that mean? The priesthood is usually male. And that man in the house must get up and offer sacrifices before God for himself and the house on a daily basis as a non-negotiable priority. Hallelujah. Somehow along the line, if you're in a home, we expect the man to be the priesthood in the home. That's how God made it. Go through the whole of the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, God called the male to stand up in the home. So when the priesthood is missing in the home always get into trouble. In some cases, it gets into a great mess. Say a great mess. But God is not, it's never his intention to see that. But then God wanted the priesthood to offer daily sacrifices. That means the man to stand to pray for himself and to pray for the home as a daily non-negotiable priority. So you'd be thinking, oh gosh, I'm not married, so what do I do? Oh, I don't have a husband, what do I do? What I'm saying is that somebody in the house need to stand up in that priesthood, to stand up as a man, to begin to offer sacrifices before our God on a daily basis as a non-negotiable priority. Amen. That means you cannot put anything in its place. Prayer must start in the house, and it's going to be daily in the house. Amen. That is how restoration comes. The priesthood should be restored. So in every home, that priesthood needs to be restored. I'm not saying that if your husband has gone somewhere or even died, you have to go and raise him up to come and do that. All what I'm saying is that you have to do the work that God wanted us to do. God chose male to stand in the priesthood for a reason. For their determination. For their strength. And their unwavering. And their boldness. And their continuity and singleness of mind. God called them for that reason to offer that priesthood. So I know some of you will be talking about equal opportunity and, I mean, yeah, genderism and all those things. I'm not interested in that. I'm talking about priesthood. Are you with me? And I'm talking about the quality, how God made us, male and female. The priesthood were destined to obey the word of God. And if they disobey the message, they stumble. Therefore, if the priesthood is ineffective or ineffectual, two words have subtle differences. Ineffective means you are not effective, right? You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are not efficient. You're not organized. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And ineffectual means that nothing comes out of you. What that is effective. You're weak. You're feeble. You see, so what I'm saying is that if you're in a home and the priesthood is not standing strong and let somebody else wear the trousers in the home and they make all the decisions for you and you're supposed to be the priest in the house, then you are being ineffectual. Are you with me? You are being ineffective. That means you are inadequate. But they must obey the word of God. Otherwise, they stumble. And in fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 28 tells us that the priest will stumble if they do not obey the word of God. And many a times in our homes, the priesthood is stumbling because obedience to the word of God is not there. They're stumbling because they are weak. They're stumbling because they are ineffective. They are ineffectual. And I just want to encourage you that if you are in a married home, you have a man in the house, kick him on the wherever side and tell him that you've got to be the priest of the house. If they wake up, they are not reading the Bible, tell them that you're supposed to be the priest in the house to offer sacrifices before God and to offer sacrifice on your behalf, on our behalf. And if you're not doing that, who should be doing that for you? So if you are going, that is why when you go into marriage, look for a good Christian. Somebody not just say, oh, I go to church, I'm a Christian. Somebody born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit has descended upon him. Somebody who loves God and somebody who knows God. Somebody who wants to follow God. Love is not a precondition to go into marriage. I've been married for 30 years, so I can tell something, I can say something about marriage. Somewhere along the line, marriage goes like a scale, right? Roller coaster sometimes. If you're marrying for beauty, I can assure you that you can get to a time that you can see that either your husband become very gray, not the same person that you married, or become a bit wrinkly, or the woman has become a little bit different from the person that you saw. That if you had to have a choice at that time, you probably wouldn't choose her. Well, truth be told. And vice versa. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that if you go for looks, looks is deceptive. If you are going for love, sometimes you don't love your wife or your husband the way you thought you did from the very beginning because the person has upset you. Hello?
Yes.
I'm telling the truth. When somebody upset you so much, you just have to hold your breath as a Christian not to curse her or curse him. So I just want you to understand that you cannot go because of the person's career. Supposing the job goes. You cannot go for the person's house. Supposing it gets repossessed. You can't go because of the person's car, because the next car is going to be better than the old one. So these things are not preconditioned for marriage. But when God is the precondition and when restoration of priesthood that is disobeying God is the precondition, then your marriage will endure. Then you will endure too. Hallelujah. So, if the priesthood has stumbled in the home, then someone would then have to stand in for the priesthood in that house. Until the priesthood is restored. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about the people of Israel. To come back to that verse that people like quoting so much. And I can assure you that 9 out of 10 Christians quote it out of context. Because they do not read the scripture to see what I'm trying to tell you. Lack of knowledge. Make a lot of Christians unrestrained. They come and make so many pronouncements. That they themselves don't understand or even behave. Hallelujah. So if you're a man in this church, I just want you to know that you got to be a priest in your home. Amen. If you're not being a priest in your home, you are disobeying God and you will stumble. You will stumble in some way in your life. And when you stumble, you see now what? Who are you going to look for? Your wife to come and sustain you? They've not been called to be the priest in the first instance. You have been called. So every man and every woman in this church, every man in this church need to be hot for God. Men, are you hearing me? Yes. You need to be hot on fire for God as a precondition to see restoration in the home. As a precondition to see restoration in your life. You cannot be a wishy-washy Christian and thinking that is okay, that is not enough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So someone then have to stand in for the priesthood. Now I want you to, if you can project for me, I'll be so, so happy. First Peter chapter 2 verse 9. If you can project for me, I'll be so happy. Otherwise, I'll read it. First Peter 2 verse 9. It's something that you guys know and you know it off by heart. Have you got it? It will come. But I'm going to get a new software quick. said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Shall we read all together? All of us read together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. So if the priests are not standing up and they are stumbling, then you are a chosen generation. Are you getting me? Because you've all been called out of darkness into his wonderful light. That means you who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and Master, your leader and forgiver, you are the guy who need to stand up. So that means there are some people in their home, the male is absent, literally meaning that there is no husband. Some have chosen to be that way. Others too, it's just a matter of choices in life earlier on that if they have to look back, they would have chosen better. And therefore, there's no husband in the house. Sometimes it could well be that husband is there physically, but is absent spiritually. Sometimes absent. Because the husband, if the person is stumbling, it's causing trouble all the time. Everything is a problem for them. God, they are stumbling. You understand that? So then, if nobody is standing up, then you should be standing up. So therefore, then it doesn't mean anymore for a male or female anymore, but somebody needs to stand up. And that person standing up could be you. You understand that? It could be that you are even yet to be married, but then you are now going to take the mantle of priesthood in your life, in your home, and say, God, I am preparing myself for the future. Hallelujah. Somebody need to stand up. Now you can go back to the chapter 3 of Zechariah for me. Now the high priest in the house must stand up before the Lord as evidence that he or she is willing to move to the next level. If somebody needs to stand up, that person needs to be ready to say, I am going to move to the next level. Zechariah 3:1. Then he showed me Joshua. That's an angel. Showed the prophet Joshua. That's the prophet speaking, that the angel showed him Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan at his right hand side to accuse him. Now, let me help you out here. It is not a Joshua during Moses' time. This is fast forward 1,000 years on. There is another man who is a high priest after they've returned from exile, where he was waiting for the temple to be rebuilt so that he can offer sacrifices before the Lord. And somehow along the line, because the temple had not been built, because there's no daily sacrifice, somebody need to be made ready. Because there's no daily sacrifice, the high priest was being accused by the devil. Are you with me? So when the high priest stumbles or the priest who stumbles, the enemy accuses you. So you begin to hear things in your mind. Everybody becomes an enemy for you. Are you with me? Because it's the battlefield of the mind. That is the most effective way the enemy works. And I've told you in recent months and recent weeks that there are three voices that we listen to. First, either we listen to the voice of God, or we listen to the voice of the devil, or listen to the voice of our souls. And these three voices are very powerful and competing. And when the enemy is speaking, he works through your mind all the time. And when God is speaking, he just speaks to your heart and by revelation. And God will not speak to you unless you spend time with him, because you have to create the atmosphere to allow God in. If you create the atmosphere with prayer and worship, God comes in. And the word of God becomes revealed knowledge for you. But if you're stumbling or not moving on, I can assure you that you're not hearing the word of God, because you can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and you hear that at that time when God started speaking to Samuel, who became the prophet of Israel, that boy, by the age of 9, at that time, prophecies were infrequent. The word of the Lord was rare. Rare means that you don't see it. If you see it, it's a privilege. And that time, there was a high priest called Eli. And he was not standing in his priesthood, so he was not hearing the voice of the Lord. So what I'm trying to bring you to understand is that when we get to the point that there is no priesthood in the house, when the house of God needs to be rebuilt, when your home needs to be rebuilt for prayer and worship and praise, then there is an accusation. So there you can see that in the home, every now and then there is tension. Every now and then there is quarreling. Every now and then there is accusation of each other. Every now and then suddenly somebody is your problem. The person is not your problem. The accuser of the brethren is working on your mind. Are you with me? The accuser of the brethren is working on your mind. And that creates confusion in the home. So with this man who's supposed to be the high priest, who's supposed to be offering sacrifice because the temple wasn't built and there was no daily sacrifices, he was constantly under the accusation of the enemy. Look at that. Then he showed me the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. I mean, this guy was actually standing, wanting to engage with God, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. That means a place of strategic influence. To accuse him. Oh, did I know you did this? Didn't you do that? Didn't you do that? Didn't you do that? That was where the accusation was coming from. The high priest in the house must stand before the Lord as evidence, or he or she is willing to move to the next level. Otherwise, Satan stands to accuse you. The high priest in action, for whatever reason, gives Satan a point of entry to enter the house and enter the home to smash it apart and to destabilize it. Sometimes you see homes smashed apart and destabilized. Hello? I've seen many, and I've heard about many. Because the high priest is inactive, somebody must stand up in the house. Somebody must stand up in the house. Point two, for God to restore and rebuild lives, the second thing that needs to happen is the priest must repent of any point of entry and any hold Satan has on him or her. Somebody must repent of their sins. Because when you read verse 2 of the chapter 3, it says this. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you." It's not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire. What does that mean? You see, when a stick is in fire and it's burning, you know what is going to happen. The end result is that there will be no more stick. Yes. There will be no more stick. And there will be no fire either. So, what is happening is that somehow when the priesthood goes so cold and nothing is happening, God comes because you are willing. Somebody is willing to say, I'm going to stand up to move to the next level in prayer, in worship, and intercession for God to do something. I'm going to offer a daily sacrifice. I'm not going to let my situation weigh me down. I'm not going to let anything weigh, because those things are like fire that is burning and God needs to rescue you from it. Because those fire will consume you. When you are really, your home is in a mess, you go through a lot of emotional problems and you go through psychological problems, and spiritually it kills you. But God wants to bring you out of that situation. Hallelujah. God wants to bring, don't forget to show me the time, right? I'm going by my watch, but please show me. Thank you in Jesus' name. So the burning stick will then be snatched from the fire by the Lord if Satan accuses you. Then you say, the Lord rebuke you. From here on, any filthy garment need to be removed so that the fine garment from the Lord will be put in its place. That means if you have sinned, God is going to remove that. If you've been inactive, it's sin, right? Inactivity as a people of prayer, as a people called by the name of God, is sinful. So we sin against God not only because maybe we've gone to sleep with somebody on the roadside, but it's because we are inactive before God. In this church, we even send you daily devotions to make life easy for you. In this church, there's opportunity for people to pray. A lot of opportunities. So we make life easy for you. Take hold of them. And if there is any filthy garment, you need to be removed. So that means the next thing that you need to do as a priest is to bring repentance into your home. Is to ask God and say, God, you know what? I know where I've gotten wrong. My inactivity is sinful. And the fact that the priesthood, the original priesthood male called in the house is actually inactive is sinful. And then I confess the sin of the high priest. I confess my own sin. And as I stand as the priesthood, I confess the sin of my family. I confess the sin of anyone that is standing in your way for God to restore his original purpose in my life. Hallelujah. Because you are confessing for your sin to be remitted. That means to be washed away without trace. So that something new can come. You are also doing everything to actually clean the priesthood. You are actually bringing cleanliness or cleansing. You are cleaning your house of anything that is wrong. Anything that is not working, you are cleaning it of its filth so that God will come to you. That is what we are doing here. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, the change begins with you. And I want you to repeat this after me. The change begins with me. Shall we say it again? One more time. The change begins with me. So you are saying to yourself that if there's going to be a change in my home, it's got to begin with me. Are you with me? Yes. This time I'm bold, so bold that the devil cannot stand me. That is exactly it. Because you stand in your priesthood. And I keep on saying, I have absolutely nothing to lose. I've seen death before. I've seen heaven before. I've seen what hell looks like. So what do I have to be afraid of? Nothing. If somebody says, I'm going to kill you. So what? Nothing. Because there's going to be resurrection. And I'm going to be one of them. Amen. So I just want to encourage you that what God does when you stand in your priesthood, he gives you boldness. The power that he's already put in you, he reactivated it to stand. Even when the enemy comes to want to accuse you, you are able to stand and defeat him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So when the change begins with me, then the high priest cleansing must be the first in order to govern the house again. That is the beginning of restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Third point, we must begin to hear the voice of God again. We must begin to hear the voice of God again. And hear what the Almighty God says. Bring verse 7 of that chapter for me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me. If you walk in my ways and keep my requirement. Let me read from my translation. I like the word obedience because sometimes we don't like the word obedience, right? If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among those standing here. Hallelujah. Now, when God was speaking, there were angels around. There were elders that is spoken of in Revelation were all around. And God is saying that now, if you will hear the voice of God again. If you be obedient and do the requirements of God, then you will hear the voice of God again, and then you will govern your home. See, some of us, we can't even govern our home because it's ungovernable. Sometimes the children governs us. Sometimes wife govern us. Sometimes lazy husbands govern us. Weak husbands govern us. Feeble husbands govern us. And if you are not standing in the priesthood, I'm describing you right now. And yet we have to be standing with the angels. We have to be standing with God. We have to be exercising the authority of God in our home. If we have to do what is right before our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to be doing that. So, it is when you walk in obedience that you begin to hear the voice of God again. Not the voice of the devil, not the voice of your soul. That means you are not going to listen to your mind, your emotions, and your will. Because some of us, we only act on our emotions. I feel this way. That's the way I feel. That's what I think. And that is what you think. What you feel doesn't bring you the priesthood, but what you obey. This what you hear from God is what will make you a priest in your own home. Because we make decisions according to how we feel. That is in the soul. How we think in the mind, also in the soul. And how we think, this is what I want to see, our wills, still in the soul. But the soul one day will die. Hallelujah. Amen. So therefore, for Christ has already removed the sin in a single day. He has atoned for it. According to Zechariah chapter 8 and 9. So when it came to chapter 4, verse 6, when God started speaking to Zechariah, said the voice you should hear right now is the voice of God. And this is the word of God the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now guess who Zerubbabel is? I said he was the governor. He was supposed to supervise all the work. But before the work gets done, or when the work gets done, then the priest will come in. He was immobilized. The priest was paralyzed because there was no priesthood in the house. So this time, Zerubbabel was not present, but the high priest was being commissioned to go and say, tell him, this is what the Lord God said to you, Zerubbabel. It's not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. And for us, for restoration to come to the house, it's not by might, it's not by power, is by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we want God to restore the purpose, the vision, and the provision that God has called us into, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Spirit of God, when it comes, is going to find a place to settle. Otherwise, it goes back to the person who sent it forth. Hallelujah. And today, are you ready for the Spirit of God to settle on you? God is going to change your situation by supernatural means and not by human efforts. That is, you must reach out to the heavens and take what belongs to you and what God has prepared for you and bring it down to this earth for your use. Hallelujah. This will give you the power shift and shift things in your favor or out of your way if it is not benefiting you. So verse 7 of chapter 4 of Zechariah, it says, what are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, keep praying. You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it. God bless it. Hallelujah. Amen. So if we say not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God, that means if you begin to get into the supernatural things of God and you allow God to restore the priesthood in your home and to restore the priesthood in your life, God is going to make sure that every mountain you are going to look at and say, what are you, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, I told you, you'll be the governor. That means the ruler. What are you, O mountain? You become like level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone. You will bring out the capstone to the shouts of God. That means God is shouting behind you. I shall bring the capstone. And he will say, God bless it. God bless it. Are you with me? In your hands, God is going to put the purpose, the provision, and the things that you've been praying for, the shift that you want to have in your life and in your home, God is going to put it in your hand because you are not a governor and you are going to bring the capstone. Capstone meaning the last thing that needs to be put in place for the building to be complete. Amen. Currently, we're having a building project. And somehow along that, there's going to be some pillars there. And the capstone is going to be put in as the last. And when they put it on it, that means it is done. Hallelujah. So God is going to bring the capstone and put it in your hands. But God is not going to put in a hand that is filthy. God is not going to put in a hand that is not a priesthood. God is not going to put in a hand who is not standing in the priesthood in his home or her home. God is not going to do that. God wants people who will hear his voice again. God wants a priest who is going to repent of every entry point. God is looking for a priest who will stand and say, I am the priesthood in the home. I'm a royal priesthood. God's own people. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord himself will crown your effort with the works of his hands, of your hand. The chosen capstone will put in its place. And to end my message today, I will say this. God is interested in restoring lives. God is interested in restoring lives. It is in the interest of God to rebuild lives and homes in that it glorifies him to see people worshiping him again. When we worship him and offer our sacrifices of praise, it releases his power in our situation and his blessings come with it. Hallelujah. Amen. We should bring fresh worship into our home. Fresh worship always comes from end time revelations, which lift the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That which lifts the Christ and put him on the throne in our worship. Are you listening? Our fresh worship should include fasting as a lifestyle to repair the ancient ruins. You can write this Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, verse 8, verse 12. Right? You can write those verses down. And Isaiah 61, verse 4. You can write it down. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, verse 8, verse 12. Isaiah 61, verse 4. To restore the ancient ruins. To make us oaks of righteousness. Fasting, prayer, and repentance releases the supernatural hand of God to heal our land. And we know this from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 to 15. Are you blessed today? Amen. We're going to pray right now. And I want to pray for certain people in this house. If you're here and you're home, in the name of Jesus, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Ask God to restore the priesthood in your life and in your home. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Keep praying, keep praying. I'll come and pray for you right now. Mondoro babo shekere bele bele mendoro babo no shekere bele bele. Stand in the middle here and start praying for people. Stand here. Hallelujah. Yes, keep praying for people right now. If you need an anointing oil, there's some there, use it. Yes, we are praying for restoration of the priesthood in the home right now. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for restoration of the priesthood right now. Receive from God 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 right now. Yet the rest, cover us in prayer. Cover us in prayer. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray for restoration of the priesthood right now. In Jesus' name. Father God, in these hands, restore the priesthood. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. Restore, 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 restore. Restore in Jesus' name. Restore the priesthood, oh God. Restore the priesthood, oh God. Restore the priesthood, oh God. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, I'm praying for restoration. Restoration of that priesthood. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabo Sheke, Lababo Noro, Baboko, Tolobabo Noro, Mama Shataya. In the name of Jesus. Father, restore this priesthood right now. In Jesus' name. 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 Oh, Rabo Sheke, Lamama Sheke, Rebebo Noro, Mamaya. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, restoration. Restoration right now, right now, right now, right now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, 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 I declare restoration in your life right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, in Jesus' name, oh God. Father God, restore this life. Restore this life. And restore the priesthood. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the supernatural name of Jesus. Father God, we're touching heavens. And we're releasing, Father God, into these hands. Your power. Your glory. Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for restoration. 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 Restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father God, restore this life. Restore this home.